Thank you, Ben, for leading us in those songs, and thank you for each one of you for being here tonight. God has given us another opportunity to be able to worship Him in spirit and truth, and we're so glad that you are able to take this opportunity to be able to be here with those of like precious faith. Encourage you to come back at any opportunity you may have, especially if you're visiting, and we're always glad that each one of you are here. Before we go to our lesson, let us go for bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come into your presence as we humble ourselves before you. We ask your blessings upon the reading and studying of your word. Father, we thank you for this time of worship, and we thank you for each that is here. We pray that what is done here and said here will be a blessing, and that we can leave this place encouraged in our faith and drawn closer to you. Father, we are mindful that there are many who are not with us, and some have chosen not to be here for various reasons. And Father, we just pray for them, pray for those who are spiritually sick, and we pray that tonight's lesson will encourage us to be able to reach out to them in love and encourage them to be back in your fold. Father, we're also mindful of those that are sick and they're grieving. We just pray your comforting hand upon them. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Father, we pray that we will come to know him all the more, that we will be able to grow in faith and in strength, and be able to one day hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Help us live with anticipation that your Son is coming back to take us home for eternal life. Father, we just thank you for that opportunity, and we pray for your help as we strive to live for you. Thank you for so many things you do for us. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, it's happened several times. You want to look it up, you can look it up on the internet and find that it's happened more than once. In fact, the British government said, I believe the Coast Guard there said over 18 times. And what is it? It's these people who go out for a vacation along the beach, and they get these inflatable animals, these inflatable flamingos or whatever it is. And they go out for a relaxing time at the beach. They lay out on this raft or whatever you want to call it, inflatable thing. And before you know it, they have drifted not just a few yards from the beach, but sometimes miles. I think one report 7 miles someone drifted away from the beach before they realized they had done such. That's when the call for help comes, and oftentimes it takes more than just someone swimming out to get them. Sometimes it takes the Coast Guard, lifeguards, to go out and help rescue this stranded person. You know, as I've heard stories and countless stories about that over the past few years, it made me think about Christians who often drift away from the Lord's church, from the faith. And it really doesn't take much time. And also, it's not something we plan to do. As we think about those who have fallen away, I'm not sure that anyone sets out when they become a Christian and says, "Well, I'm going to fall away." It's something that happens usually very innocently, and it takes a time very similar to someone that goes to a beach and gets on one of these inflatable rafts. And next thing I know, they've drifted far out into the ocean. Many surveys show that we're losing about 40 to 80%, and I know that's a wide stretch, but we're losing a lot of people after the first year that they have been baptized into Christ. It's obviously something we need to be aware of and alerted to, that when someone becomes a Christian, our job's not done. Even in the Great Commission, Jesus tells us in Matthew 28 and 18 through 20, that once one has been baptized, that they need to continue to be taught. And yet somewhere along the way, we have not done a very good job to that. In fact, if we had lost 50% of the babies born in a hospital, we would be greatly alarmed. And yet, we don't seem necessarily alarmed when we're losing as many Christians as we are. We must keep in mind that also that those who have wandered away from the truth, it's very challenging to bring them back. Surveys tell us that it's very hard to bring people back once they have left the church. It's a challenge. But as the scriptures tell us, it's not an impossible challenge. It's not something that we just wring our hands with and say, it's too difficult, and just give up. In fact, the Bible tells us in a number of instances that we must make an effort to reach those who have wandered away from the faith. For example, look in James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. Notice again what it says in regards to this topic. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Not only does the Bible tell us that we can bring one back, it also encourages us to do that very thing. So tonight I want to look a little bit closer at how and why people fall away from the church and the Lord and help bring them back. First, number one, the reality that people are falling away. As James points out in verse 19, we see that there are people, a Christian people, that will stray from the truth. Now, I guess that there is as many reasons as there are people who fall away. And I don't want to pretend to be able to say that all the reasons. There is a number of different reasons. We need to realize that no one's perfect. And although many people fall away, many of us do not plan to do so. In fact, sitting here tonight, do you plan to be leaving the church here in 6 months or a year or 5 years? Certainly not. And yet the Bible also warns us about falling away. Peter warns in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 and verse 21, reminds us and encourages us not to fall away. Notice what he says. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than all have knowing it to turn back and from the holy command delivered to them. Notice Peter is warning us about falling away. And he talks about that it had been better for them, realizing that, understanding that if one falls away and then they realize that, it's going to be a great punishment for them in hell, knowing that they had the truth in their hands and they let it go, and so it will be worse for them. The Bible goes on and tells us of many instances when there are those who fell away. Probably the most common, and we had a lesson on this not too long ago, about the prodigal son in Luke 15. We see in that instance, he chose to leave, and he left. There are other biblical examples of people following away. For example, Peter, the apostle Peter, one would never think that he would fall away after making the comment he did in Matthew 16 and verse 16, where he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And yet over in Mark 14 and verse 71, we see that it is Peter who is denying Jesus, denying that he ever knew him when Jesus is taken into custody and taken to eventually the cross. Peter denies him. In fact, he even says, "I do not know this man that you are talking about." What a denial. And at least for a time, Peter had fallen away. It happened again in John chapter 6 and verse 66. This is in reference to Jesus teaching his disciples. He had just fed many of them, and as he is teaching them, there were some who did not agree with his teaching, did not believe in his teaching. And notice it says that many disciples turned and no longer walked with him. Jesus even predicts this in Matthew 24 and 10, saying that there will be many fall away and betray one another and even hate one another. So the reality is that there are those who will start out following Jesus, but for whatever reason, they will turn their back on him. And although this isn't pleasant, it is a reality that we see in Scripture, and we even see in our day and time. Notice in Hebrews chapter 2, In Hebrews chapter 2, the writer of Hebrews even makes this warning. He says, "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unattainable, and even transgressions and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard." So the Hebrew writer is reminding us and warning us that there are going to be people turn back. In fact, he's even warning, don't turn back. People can drift away. Again, the idea that we use in the beginning of the lesson, talking about drifting away, comes to mind. But the Bible is very clear that there are going to be those who fall away from the church. It warns us. It even warns us so we can guard against such falling away. But number two, what's the reason? What's the reason that people fall away from the Lord? Again, back in James chapter 5, verse 19, it says that there will be people who stray from the truth, reminding us there are people going to go away. Jesus even talked about it, a shepherd who lost that one sheep. We know that parable, many know very well. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus reminds us of the four soils, the seed and the four soils. And he talks about in that passage different reasons why people fall away. In that passage of Matthew 13, one of the reasons that people fall away is because some are not truly converted. Some, they hear the word and they just ignore it. And that's what we see in this parable, that there are those who come to Christ. And I think a number of times throughout my ministry of hearing someone who wanted to be baptized, and yet they were baptized for the wrong reason. Maybe they lost the argument. Or maybe they were young. You know, I've had a number of people come to me and say, "Well, I was really young and didn't understand what I was doing." Well, if that's where you are tonight, then let's correct that this very night and make things right and be baptized for the right reasons. But sometimes people are nagged or guilted into it for some reason. And we must be careful when we present the gospel message, that we present it in a way that we direct them to the way of Christ in heaven and the path that is directed in Scripture, and not do it out of a negative way in trying to nag or guilt people in. We also see that there is sometimes something we do that people say, "Well, I went in on that." Maybe it's the free food they get at a fellowship, or maybe it's money, or maybe it's social acceptance of some reason. It's not that they're going into the water to receive forgiveness of sins. It's because they got something for free. And so instead of really being converted to Christ, they just want their, we might say, meal ticket punched. Some have been baptized just to get attention. And I've experienced this, unfortunately. So some people aren't truly converted. And they do Bible things, not in Bible ways. So sometimes that happens. But we also see people fall away because of sin. Again, in James, the book of James, chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, it reminds us that sometimes people will fall away because of sin. And this is probably the most common way that people fall away. We see people not dealing with their anger. And so they allow anger to become controlling in their life. And so they begin following that way of anger. Some stop following, stop doing godly habits. You know, they stop reading their Bible. They stop coming to worship. They stop praying and doing their Christian duty. And they allow other things to creep in. Again, when we think about the parable that Jesus gives us in Matthew 13, the parable, the seed that fell among the thorns. Remember, it started out growing really well, but the cares and the worries of the world crept in, and the deceitfulness of sin takes over. You know, sometimes we start out doing things right, but we allow other things to creep into our lives. And maybe it's bad relationships, or maybe it's bad choices, or maybe it's just blatant sin. We just let our guard down and start following the way of sin. And so sometimes we fall away for those things. Sometimes we neglect the salvation. Hebrews 2, what we just read, verse 3, talks about we neglect it. Again, it's a gradual thing. I don't know as many people who have been converted the next day say, I'm not a Christian. You know, the person that says, I want to be baptized the next day, rarely have I ever seen that. It's usually gradual. It's not spending time with the Lord. It's not spending time with worship. And it's not just what we do on Sunday, but also what we do throughout the week. Where is God throughout our everyday life? Where is God at the center of our life? Are we seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as Matthew 6:33 reminds us? Are we spending time with God, not just on the first day of the week? And so we begin putting other things in our life, and it happens so gradually. It's like that person getting on that raft and just relaxing, and it swiftly, slowly drifts out to sea slowly. And so it is sometimes with our relationship with God. Oh, I don't have to go to church tonight. Oh, I read my Bible yesterday. Oh, I don't have to pray today. And we allow these things to slowly grow in our life. Sometimes people fall away because of the influences we put in our life. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us bad company corrupts good morals. Who are our friends? What are we keeping company with? What is the fellowship that we have with those? Many times I see people fall away because they've had bad company. They have allowed influence and friends in their life that don't promote Christ. They don't promote the godliest values of Scripture, and so they begin to be corrupted. And so this is another reason people fall away. And we also need to realize that the devil is at work. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it reminds us that the devil works. Yes, he works slowly. He goes around as a wolf in sheep clothing, convincing and being very devoted to his evil. And sometimes he influences our life, and we choose his way over God's way. And so it is, we sometimes just slip away. And the next thing you know, we hear the person say, I quit the church. I quit the Lord. So it's really a process. The slow erosion of one's soul. There are many reasons, and these are just some highlights of reasons why people fall away. But the question is, regardless of how one ever falls away, what is the Christian response? What is the response of the Christian? And James tells us. Notice again in James chapter 5, verse 19, he is addressing this to Christians. He says, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he turns a sinner from the error of his way, will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The Christian has a responsibility. The Christian, the faithful Christian who is healthy, can be used by God to turn that straying person back to the truth. And in so doing, it reminds us they cover, saves one soul from death and covers a multitude of sins. James is praising and encouraging the healthy Christian, help reach out to that unfaithful. And the scriptures are clear that a faithful Christian has a responsibility to reach out to an unfaithful Christian who is in reality a lost person. How do we do that? Well, Romans 10, verse 14 and 15 reminds us that we are to preach. We are to teach. Notice it says, how then will they call on him whom they have not heard believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The person that is lost needs to be taught all over again. And so we see that those who have fallen away, they need to be taught. But maybe not necessarily taught in a way that a lost person, totally lost, who have never heard, is taught. But they need to be taught all over again. They need to be reminded of what they have left behind, of what they have lost. They need to be reminded. And the Bible reminds us that it's up to us to do that. Again, statistics, however good they are, tells us that only about 2% of us are actually concerned with the lost. Only about 2% of us are willing to go invite people to come back. And so the challenge and the burden is really ours as well. We have a responsibility to reach out. The Bible says how beautiful it is of the feet who preach good news. It is a good thing, but yet very few of us are doing it. And the Bible also reminds us that the Christian who has fallen away, when he comes back, we need to help him remember their commitment, to remember what they have lost. You know, sometimes Paul would do this. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and following, he is talking about baptism. But he's not talking in this context of a person who had not been baptized. He's talking in the context of people, of Christians who have been baptized, and he reminds them of what they have done. And so he reminds them and basically says, remember your baptism. What was the commitment you made? What was it that took place at your baptism? And so we need to remind people of what took place when they came to Christ. We need to remember the reason for why we first made that commitment to begin with. And we need to also be reminded of what we're losing by not following Jesus Christ. But next, we also need to remember, and this is one of the challenges for one who has left. It's a very shameful thing, embarrassing thing, to come back. Let's face it, church, when one has turned their back, for whatever reason, it's a challenge to come back. It's very hard. And when someone has been maybe ostracized or looked down upon, it's hard to go and be confronted with that all over again. And yet the Bible paints a different picture of how one is to be received when they come back. In Luke chapter 15, we see Jesus gives us three parables. We have the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal. And the common theme is not only being lost in those instances, but the person or thing that was lost was found, and there was a great celebration. As difficult it is for those who have left to come back, we need to make sure that when they come back that they are treated with a celebration, that we need to rejoice with them, for this one that was lost is now found, this one that was blind now sees, and we need to encourage them along that way. A few years ago, I heard a preacher tell the story of a time when he was on a missionary trip. And he happened to be in one of the England countries, or England, Scotland, one of those places. And he said that there was a, if you've ever been there, they drive on a different side of the road than we do. And he happened to get in a car that had an L on the back of it, meant learner. And so as he was driving, he actually drove it in the ditch. Well, some of the people there were very upset because he had actually driven on the wrong side of the road. He thought he was an American and wasn't thinking, and drove it in the ditch. Well, there were some of the people, and they were very angry with him. But then one of the big burly guys that was coming up there basically to tell him and give him what for over all the situation saw that it had a learner. It had L on it. And he told all the group, said, "Hey, look, he's a learner. He's a learner." And they all came up, and right as they were getting ready to come up to him, instead of rebuking him, they helped him get out of the ditch and cheered him on as he went down the road. He was a learner, although he was from another country. Well, I tell that story to make the point is that we need to celebrate when one gets back on track, and we need to encourage them, because in reality, we're all learners, aren't we? We all don't get it right, and we need to be celebrating as we see in Luke 15. But last, we need to restore them in gentleness. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, notice what Paul says. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Notice the warning here. There is a warning for us to be reminded to guard our spiritual life, but we also need to be able to help others. Instead of judging severely, we need to be able to seek that person and encourage them in a loving way and lead them back. Notice Paul says, bring them back in gentleness. We need to realize what is at stake when one is lost. Their eternity is at stake. Their salvation is at stake. We see that their forgiveness and all that Jesus set out to do for them is at stake. We need to help them. So how can we help them? Real quick, we can pray for them. Pray for the lost. Pray for the unfaithful. Pray that God will open the door. Pray for them diligently. But number two, when we have opportunities, encourage. Encourage them. Remind them of what they have forgotten, of what they left behind. Show them encouragement. It might be a kind note. It might be an act of kindness, maybe a meal, or maybe do some yard work for them, or just be a friend and listen. Number three, we need to visit them. Flavel Yankley states that this is about the most powerful thing that can be done is a visit. When a person has no meaningful personal contact with a congregation in the process of his conversion, he is likely to feel no meaningful sense of identification with his congregation after conversion and therefore likely to drop out. Again, Fable's not just talking about those who fall away, he's talking about all of us. We need to be connected with one another, visit one another, and last, keep teaching them. Keep teaching them. I read a story in preparing this lesson of a lady who was at work, and one of her co-workers was a Christian. And this lady wasn't a Christian, and she kept making fun of this lady. In fact, the lady had actually gone to church, grew up in the church, and had drifted away, and she'd been making fun of her co-worker. And she kept making fun of her, and then her co-worker, the way she acted towards this lady that made fun of her, just kept loving her and kept going about and showing what a Christian was. And she was teaching her through her actions and through her work ethic and through the words she used. And although it was difficult, this lady brought this lady back to Christ. We need to keep teaching. And that sometimes we may need to use words and sometimes we need to use actions. Well, as we conclude tonight, we need to realize just as a plant that is abandoned and left to care for itself will likely wilt and die, many Christians who are neglected can soon fall away and die spiritually. And so we need to be involved. James 5, 19 and 20 reminds us we need to be involved. We need to help those who have strayed and bring them back. And although there are many reasons people fall away, we need to realize that they can come back. And we need to encourage them to stay faithful. And we need to encourage one another. And so maybe you're here tonight and you've fallen away. Maybe you're here tonight and you're the ones that we're talking about that have drifted away. Will you come back home? Will you come back and be part of the fellowship? We will pray with you and for you, encourage you to get back on your journey to heaven. Or maybe you're here tonight and you never obeyed the gospel. We invite you to respond as we stand, as we sing.